I'm Christina.
And this is Erin.
And you're listening to
Something to Wag About. I'd like to talk about when we use boundaries, how many boundaries are too many boundaries? Or how much structure is too much structure? How much control is too much control? Because there's an important place and time for us to set boundaries for our dogs. And then there can be times when we need to just let them be dogs. And what made me start thinking of this is that on my TikTok, some trainers who use methods that I'm not a fan of keep showing up on my feed. And they're basically saying that we shouldn't be letting our dogs pee on things and scratch after they pee on things and walk in front of us and sniff the ground and basically do pretty much anything that in my mind makes the walk enjoyable for dogs.
Can you imagine your whole life being a script and dictated for you and what that would do to you mentally? Like, even if someone wanted to control me and shape me into exactly what they wanted me to be, certainly they could get there with me, because at some point in time you just give up, right? But think about what that does mentally to the individual. You know, we get dogs, I hope, as partners, and you know, we want to have a relationship with our dogs, and that means it goes both ways, right? Sometimes we need to let them be individuals and let them do things that they are genetically, you know, made to do and what they enjoy, and then also, you know, train them so that some of the times, you know, we do make compromises and sometimes they are just following us on a 6-foot lead because we need to go from point A to point B and we don't have time for them to sniff every blade of grass, which some dogs like doing, right?
Yeah. Our pet dogs are so controlled. We control when they potty. We control what they wear. We control the hardware they use to go on walks. We control their vet schedule. We control their feeding schedule. We control so many things about their lives already. That especially if we have any dogs with all dogs, but especially any dogs with anxiety or behavior problems, we want to really actively give them control in other areas to build up their confidence and to build up their problem solving skills and to help them be more just confident in themselves and more secure in their own little bodies and minds.
Absolutely. I love the saying, choice builds confidence. Allowing a dog to have a choice and, like you say, explore and understand they can make choices, it absolutely builds awareness of what they can do, which can build confidence. It also teaches them that, and you know, we can strategically build confidence too sometimes, but you know, teaching them that they can do things to help them in scenarios when they're not feeling safe, right? It's not just, it doesn't have to be this fight, flight, freeze, stress response reaction. They can, through choice, through games, whatever we're doing, even just allowing them to be a dog sometimes, like they can learn that, hey, I can sniff rather than react to that dog, right? Yeah. I don't have to walk in this predetermined 6 foot from my person path. I have other options, right? It can be, maybe I'm going to walk away, or maybe I'm going to sniff, or maybe, hey, I do just kind of need to sit and keep my eye a little bit on that dog, but, you know, sniff a little too. Like, but yeah, giving them choice, and that just builds independence from us, right? And that is really important for insecure dogs.
One of my favorite things to see is when I'm working with a reactive dog, and I've had this happen with 3 different dogs in the last couple of weeks. When we pass in close proximity to another dog, instead of being reactive or instead of hard staring and freezing or going into any of those stress responses, the dogs have dropped their head and sniffed as we walk past. And that just makes me so happy. I love it. I love seeing that. Because my goal for dog training, I think we've discussed this before, is that the dog doesn't need us to micromanage them all the time. And when we teach them how to do things themselves, then we can slowly back out of the picture a little bit and let them make more and more choices on their own until we don't need to watch out for the reactivity. In some cases, we can just let the dogs make good choices. And it's really cool to see when the dogs are starting to get it and to grow that way.
It is really cool. I love seeing that too. And the neat thing is building that sniffing, it's not just an alternative behavior for the dog, right? It's also teaching them dog communication skills, which is also a very important part, right? Because being able to look away from the dog is a clear signal to that other dog. Whether or not the other dog understands is a whole other story. But in dog communication world, that is, you know, I'm not interested. Like, you know, just keep on moving.
It's like when you're intimidated by someone and you pull out your phone and pretend to be busy on your phone.
Exactly. Yeah, which I do a lot, by the way, but it's my stress response. Please leave me alone. But yeah, so it's serving two purposes, right? We are teaching them how to communicate to other dogs as well. And absolutely, it is my goal. I don't want to have to be there forever for my dog. I mean, I love my dogs and I love to be around, but I don't want to have to micromanage them. It's good for our dogs. It's good for us. I mean, it's stressful if we are always having to be the ones to initiate the behavior that we require from our dogs if they're reactive. That is a lot on us. That is a lot of stress. That's making us hypervigilant, which can pass on to our dogs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I absolutely want to build that independence in my dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only on walks and things, but just in the house as well. So I had an email yesterday from a client who I started working with. Her wonderful, wonderful client, wonderful dogs, wild golden retriever youngster. And when I'm at her house, I'm like, well, is there a reason that your dog is crated during the day? And it wasn't excessive, not gone for more than 4 or 5 hours. They're like, but is there a reason? And no, it's just because that's what people say you should do with young dogs. And so we've popped that dog out of a crate now. And yesterday she spent the day not in a crate. And I get an email from the client that says, wow, she was so calm all day because she had more freedom. So sometimes even freedom to choose where they sleep or choose where they rest, that can go a long ways to helping a dog regulate their arousal and regulate their emotions. Whereas we put controls on them. Another client I had was asking her puppy, young adolescent, to stay on a cot for hours at a time. Like those kinds of structures can really impact how the dog feels overall in the day and about their arousal, which can translate into barking or mouthing and jumping and all those things too. So want to think about how we're controlling those aspects of the dog too.
I really love that you mentioned that because dogs simply cannot learn skills like how to regulate their arousal level if we don't give them the chance to learn it, right? You know, certainly there's things we absolutely can do to help them learn, but they do also just need time where they aren't micromanaged, and we can kind of manipulate the environment if we need to, give them appropriate things to work on, put their mouth on, whatever they need to help soothe themselves. But if we are just on your mat, and you have to be on a mat, and that's the only time you're calm. Well, calm is, I mean, perceived calm might not actually be calm. They don't have the time to learn those skills and how to self-regulate. And it is a really important thing for dogs to learn. And if they can learn that when they're young, even better. So the idea of always putting the adolescent young dogs in a crate, I'm not going to say it's never, like obviously when they're really, really young, maybe we put them in a crate or even in an X pen or a dog safe room. Like it's very dog dependent in terms of how we can keep them safe. But for the most part, I'm trying to give them freedom as much as I can, as fast as I can. So they learn these skills when they're young.
Mm-hmm. And the exception would be if you're in a busy house with an overstimulated dog or a dog that just struggles with learning how to nap anyways, crates for nap times. But you know, nap times aren't 4 or 5 hours long. Nap times are an hour or two. And so I use crates and I'll continue to use crates. And especially for helping my dogs learn how to nap appropriately. But a nap is a couple of hours. A nap isn't 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. The other thing, sometimes you hear is that, oh, don't ever let your dog practice this behavior. Because if they practice it, they're going to get good at it, which certainly for some things I do agree with. but when it comes to natural behaviors for your dog, so maybe you have a dog that really likes to dig. You know, there's plenty of dogs where it's just a natural behavior. And I'll hear people say, well, just don't let your dog to dig and that will extinguish the behavior.
Good luck.
Good luck. Exactly. But you know, the thing is too, is even if we are really on top of it and we manage to extinguish that behavior, A, it's going to require a crap ton of supervision, and B, honestly, more than likely it's going to come out in another way. You know, whether or not it is excessive mouthing, barking, whatever it may be, these natural things. And you know, for some dogs, border collies, stalking, right? Maybe they need that time to be able to express those natural behaviors, because if those needs are met and they're satisfied, so we do allow them this freedom to do these behaviors that are just inherently part of their DNA. It's not necessarily that they're going to do it more. It's, you know, their needs are met. And then when they're not doing it at those specified times, these other unwanted behaviors, you know, ideally aren't going to come out because their needs have been met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that you mentioned meeting needs, because I get that a lot. So someone will call me with a protection type dog, and they'll want me to help them stop their dog from guarding the yard. Well, we can help them learn to let you know and stop. We can help them learn to go lie down. But to teach a dog that's been bred to guard, not to guard, that might be a losing battle.
Yeah.
Or require such heavy management that I would be concerned for the animals and the humans' quality of life.
Yeah.
The other thing is that sometimes people, especially first-time dog owners, or people who maybe have had just a super, super easy dog before, don't put any structure or boundaries in place for their dogs. And that's hard on the dog when now they come to us and they are being told no for the first time. You can't do that for the first time. You can't have free access to the entire house whenever you want it. You can't just go say hi to every single dog and every single human. And so if dogs have never had any boundaries or very few boundaries, and then they turn into adolescents and teenagers, and then these cute puppy behaviors become a quote unquote problem, now that dog's going to have a really, really hard time understanding why the entire rules of the whole universe have just changed. And we have to be fair to them and fair to the humans too, because it's not always pretty when we're helping dogs learn that piece, because we need to set some rules for safety and for, you know, just polite dog behavior in the world. And it can be really hard for dogs to learn that, no, actually you can't go say hi to that dog. It's not safe for your dog to just go and say hi to every single other dog. And it's not fair for you to let your dog go up to every single human and sniff them, because a lot of people don't like dogs, or they're allergic, or they're afraid. And so boundaries are important to ensure that we raise or train really good canine good citizens.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are two parts to that, sort of, in that, you know, if you're getting a puppy, making sure to set appropriate and fair boundaries right from the get-go makes your world a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. even if it is just, you know, we sometimes limit the space you go in the house, and absolutely we don't go up to say hi to everybody or all people. I love putting people dog greetings on cue right from the get-go, so that they they do learn that there's some structure in there, right? It's not a free-for-all. But then there's also the, what if we've gotten a bit of an older dog and they haven't, or, you know, like you say, first time dog owner, and they didn't have those in place from the get-go, then being fair, because we can't go from no boundaries to a crap ton of boundaries and expect our dogs to not, like, their behavior could even get worse if we try and now controlling everything. So, you know, we pick our battles where we need to for safety at the get-go, to build that idea that there are boundaries in our training, in our life. But to be fair and sometimes a little more generous from the get-go. So things that aren't a safety issue, I might let go at the beginning. I can tackle that later, right? So that they can still have some freedom and choice, so that they just don't get super frustrated. Yeah.
And as pet owners, if you are coming to us with an adolescent or older dog and they haven't had a lot of structure in their history, then it's important for you to realize too that it's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not going to be an overnight fix. This is going to be a journey, and it's going to take some time for our dogs to learn how to learn and how to have patience and how to earn the things that we want them to earn. And it's going to take time. So patience all around is going to be helpful.
So when it comes to this idea of how much control is too much or how much structure is too much, there, just like everything, there is no black and white answer. It's going to be dog dependent. But the important thing to know is that there is a balance, and it's important that we find the balance that works for your dog and you. So that it is a bit of a compromise, right? So our dogs need to be able to be dogs, but they also need to be able to function within our life. But as long as it's a fair way, essentially. I ended up rambling there a little bit.
No, that was great. That was perfect. I was admiring how well you wrapped that up.
Okay.